right, guys. Welcome to today's episode.
Easy, thanks.
Welcome to today's episode of the David J. Sherwin podcast. I'm here with Emily from It's Not All in Your Head podcast, and I will leave all of her information in this podcast episode's description. So, she is actually my first guest that I've been able to have on the show from Reddit, in fact. So that was pretty interesting. So I'm pretty excited. So I was doing a little bit of research into your podcast and learning about, from what I understand, your podcast comes from trying to understand mental health better and whatnot, which I think obviously now more than ever is extremely important to get a good grasp on. So anyways, Emily, welcome to the show. Do you want to give us a little brief background on your podcast and like how long you've been doing it for?
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me. So basically, we started just over a year ago. It sort of was born out of myself and my friend Steph would quite often have these conversations about mental health over dinner or at cafes and things like that. And her husband was always saying, you guys need to be recording this. And then my sister, who has a bipolar disorder, actually survived a suicide attempt. And I just was sort of overcome by this need to do something. And I really love talking and hearing my own voice. So Steph and I finally sort of said, all right, let's do this. So, yeah, it's just about normalizing those conversations about mental health and all of the different things around mental health and mental illness.
Right. So what are some strategies that you've used, I guess, during this whole quarantine deal with managing your own mental health, like any, like as far as like practical tips that you've been using personally as far as staying afloat and whatnot?
Trying to stay sane, yeah. Look, it's been hard. I won't lie about that, especially for myself. So I have a clinical diagnosis of persistent depressive disorder. So that's sort of a thing that I'll just have for my whole life. And so when things like, a global pandemic happen, that can be quite difficult. But I guess trying to keep the momentum around my life is something that I'm learning is a lot more important than having motivation or anything else, really. So it's really about making sure that I go back to basics, and that can be as simple as every morning I get up at the same time and have breakfast, and it's okay if I get nothing else done for the day, but that's what I have to do every day. So that's something, the main thing. And then from there, it's about, you know, if I'm having a good day, then I need to make sure that I'm getting outside and getting some fresh air while adhering to social distancing and mask wearing and all that kind of thing. Just make sure I bring a lot of those self-care things in. So eating well and exercising, taking my medication, checking in with friends and family. But yeah, it really comes down to momentum, I think. Yeah.
No, I can definitely agree with the idea of momentum. Like for myself right now, like I've just fallen into this habit. It's not, I wouldn't call it a bad habit at all, but it's definitely helped my momentum. But I've started, and I've been harping on this like constantly, but like I'm truly living by this like daily planner that like and I've never gone by a daily planner before ever in my life. So like today I had a podcast, like I was like, all right, let's get this podcast done. So I had it scheduled, and like it's so helpful with like not letting things slip, basically, or like something that, like you said, when as soon as you wake up, like before you do anything else, this is a thing that you have to go do. Like for myself, because I personally have struggled with alcoholism like bad, and something that I lost during all of it. Like I used to be all into exercising, but like now first thing I do is just go for a walk outside and just get like fresh air and just try to take in all of that like fresh air that I've been missing, that vitamin D, and it's definitely helped. And I think something else that's been helpful with keeping up with momentum, and I was learning about this today, I don't know if you've ever dove into any of these like Coursera courses, but I've been pretty heavily following them. But one of the things that it was talking about was that in your brain, the way new neural pathways are formed, like you have to experience new things on like a continuous basis to keep them up and going, which is kind of a hard task, I guess, in this whole quarantine deal. But in some ways it's not as hard as I think it is with like the fact that like I haven't been going outside and exercising regularly daily anyway. So just like getting some view of like the outside again, looking at like what like flowers look like, smelling the flowers, looking at the birds passing by, and like just getting that small like high essentially off of that has been like really motivating for me. So yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think one thing actually I didn't say is I actually moved right at the start of our sort of quarantine time over here. And while I was moving, I found some old oil paints that I guess I must have had from like high school or something. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not doing anything. And even on days where I have very low energy and I struggle to do anything, I can just sit there and have a little paint. So I've been teaching myself to oil paint. So I think that's so true, is learning new things is such a great way to keep your brain active, even if you can't get outside.
Yeah, totally. No, I definitely can feel that. That whole feeling of just like teaching yourself new things. Like for myself, I've been taking math courses, and like I hate math. Like I've never, like I'm by no means a straight A student. Like in high school, like I couldn't care less. Like I was just waiting for the day to where I could leave and get out of there. But I've been like sitting there just playing around learning math, just because I'm like, all right, well, it's something to new, like that's new to my brain at the very least. So I've been kind of consumed between trying to do a podcast and learning math at the same time, and like balancing courses as well at the same time, which has been like pretty interesting to do. But I think like you were saying, like that whole idea of momentum, like once you get that going, it's crazy. Like it's kind of like, whoa. And like for myself, like I've noticed with just like developing these habits, like people will start to look at you and you're like, wow, like that, it's crazy how you're doing all that. But like to you, it just feels like nothing. It's like, this is easy. Like, this is just, this is just how it is. Like, this is how I enjoy myself and like keep myself out of those dark places for sure. So.
Yeah, for sure. So. I think one thing that, and I do this too, but I think a lot of people sort of wait for motivation. They're sort of like, oh, well, I don't feel good today, so I'll wait until I feel motivated. But the reality of like the science behind motivation is that very few people feel motivated most of the time. And so it just takes like the tiniest little thing to add into your daily routine, and each day build on that. And all of a sudden you've built this thing that you never thought you'd be able to do into your routine. And for me at the moment, I've been doing an hour walk for the last 6 weeks. And I have never, ever walked every day consecutively in my entire life. And now it's just something that's just part of my day. And, yeah, that's simply from using momentum over waiting for motivation.
Right. Well, like, so I was learning about this the subject of procrastination, like the actual science behind it. And, like once you're in that groove of doing it, like you were saying, momentum and just keeping it pace like that, like your body is probably more worried about not walking than like the actual walking itself. But for myself, like I was bad at procrastinating. Like even when I was sober, like I was just sitting there, I was like, man, I was just putting everything off. Just like, I don't know what was going on. Like I went out, like I'd buy podcast equipment thinking that, oh, well, once I buy this piece of equipment, like, oh, I'm really going to get into it now. And then it'd sit there for months and I'd just stare at it. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I really don't know if I needed to spend all that money at that point, because I'm really not doing anything with it at all. But so I was learning about procrastination and how your body is more, it's better to get your body working around, like you were saying, momentum and habits. So like for myself, like what started basically as the catalyst for getting everything in order for myself was that, like I bought this planner. Well, I didn't buy a planner. I just started doing a to-do list in my phone before I went to sleep. So believe it or not, you don't need to buy stuff obviously to get the momentum going. So if like if it takes literally just like opening up the note section in your phone and then just writing down what you're doing for the next day. But to add on to that, like what I would do is write down, spend 30 minutes on a walk, spend 60 minutes doing this, spend 30 minutes doing that. And like the idea of just spending time on it versus like completing the whole task for myself, being as like lazy as I can be sometimes, is like, it's crazy. And like, just in like a day's amount of time, like I'll look at what I did in one day and like, I'd be like, man, I'm like, I'm not even sure if like a month ago I'd be able to do that in an entire month in like the course of a day. So it's been definitely interesting. I think the other thing too, that the quarantine may be like a, it might have this like, I mean, it's bad, obviously, it's created a lot of havoc in people's lives, but like something for me that I've kind of gotten out of it is like the way like our media is kind of all handled, I guess, at this point, where it's like, it can be so crazy to where it's now it's like, it's more of an enjoyment to just focus on your own life than it is to like start getting consumed by like what's on the news and whatnot. So totally.
I think that's a massive silver lining, if we have to pick one out, is I have never had a time in my life where I felt totally fine to literally turn off the news, not be engaged in social media, and literally just like be alone in my house and just do whatever I feel like doing in the moment. I mean, I have pretty much no responsibility, so that probably helps. I don't have kids or anything, but it's just been sort of like, oh, I feel like going for a walk now, and I don't have to do anything else. So it's kind of been a blessing in that way. Obviously, if it didn't happen, that would be better. But since it is happening, yeah, there are definitely some silver linings.
For sure. I think something else that like has been helpful in that, like finding the silver lining in things, is like, I'm going to deep dive into this book a little bit, but there's this author, I think her name is Sandra Sandberg, and she was like this COO of Facebook, oddly, but I did this like personality assessment to like see where I lined up with, and she's like a huge business leader, which is like cool to me to like learn about. But I was just learning about her, and I guess she wrote this book called Lean In, and like it was pretty interesting. But to like add on to it, like the reason why I started picking up this book was I was listening to, I'm sure you're aware of Joe Rogan's podcast, but he had David Cho on, who I thought, like this past episode that he had with David Cho, where he was talking about mental health and how he was dealing with it, and like he kept saying lean into it, and like he kept saying it over and over again, like, and you know, like I don't, like I can't watch a 4-hour podcast episode all at once, but I thought it was really odd and kind of interesting that like while I was learning about this course and learning about who Sandra Sandberg is and the book that she wrote, I'm listening to this Joe Rogan podcast where he's saying lean in, and this lady's wrote lean in. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to buy this book because I think somebody's trying to get this into my radar for some reason. And then, so I have the book on hand now, and now like I've read it, and it has definitely some great points to it. But like on top of that, like if I see somebody like struggling who I think like would benefit from what she's saying, like I'll give them the book. And like it's interesting to like kind of take a step back from it just to get like somebody else's opinion on it. And then like after a few weeks, like, yeah, it's a great book. And I'm like, okay, this is really this is really weird. Like, I'm not normally somebody who sits around and recommends books, but it was just that specific book that was like funny for me to recommend and to see what people would actually get out of it. So,
yeah. And especially getting like pretty much instant feedback from people too. I mean, what time in our lives have we ever been able to say, hey, you should read this book? And they go, okay, yeah. And then the next week they've read the book and you can sit around and talk about it. Usually people just don't have time for that kind of thing. And I feel like it's almost, even though we're all obviously disconnected in a way, we're almost reconnecting because we all have time to do all of those things at the moment. I mean, well, not all of us, but I do. So,
right. Yeah, I think it's just like reconnecting with ourselves too. Like, hopefully, like I know that like there's people struggling in this whole situation with the whole COVID thing going on where people feel disconnected. And, you know, that's like been my big inspiration for doing a podcast and trying to push out like practical ideas I think are helpful to people. But like the idea of just being connected to yourself again, like your brain and how it should be functioning, it's definitely been interesting to consider for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think one thing that I've definitely noticed over this time is I think there's a part of mental illness and addiction and all sorts of things that is sort of about overcoming it to the point where you can almost pretend to be like everyone else. And there's something really unique about this time, I think, where I can sort of just sit with the feelings and symptoms that come up around my depression and think, actually, there are times when I need to be a little bit more introverted and a bit more tuned in to that sort of thing. There are times when I do need to reach out and speak to people more, and they aren't going to fit into my usual 9-to-5 working day when, you know, COVID one day is sort of in the past and hopefully we eventually get back to normal. And learning about those parts of me have been really interesting because it has been something where it's like, okay, between 9-to-5, Monday to Friday, I can't be depressed. I have to be switched on. And, you know, if I'm feeling bad, I have to push that back. I'm not allowed to feel that and I'm not allowed to connect to that part of me. And I think that has been a really interesting idea, I guess, is just letting things happen as they come.
Right. Are you, do you practice meditation at all?
I'm supposed to. it's one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, I meditate every day for my depression. But in reality, it's probably once every few weeks when I actually remember / stop procrastinating and actually do it. I'm more likely to do yoga or something more like coloring in mindfulness exercises. It's something that I avoid very much, sitting quietly with my own thoughts. Right. But definitely something I should be doing.
No, honestly, I feel like I should be on your boat with the yoga deal. Like I'm getting slowly into exercising, but I'm like, I need to like stretch this thing, like stretch my body out, get some more connection, I guess, going with like actual flexibility. I'm sure like that only helps with like the blood circulating in your body and whatnot. So what kind of like yoga do you normally practice?
Sorry, you just dropped out for a bit there.
Sorry. So like, as far as like yoga, like, what sort of yoga do you typically, practice?
I guess you'd call it vinyasa yoga. I just do like, a couple of flows every morning or, and then in the evening I like doing some more sort of stretchy sort of yin yoga, I guess you'd call it. So yeah.
Totally. Yeah, I've been recommended yoga from like a few people and it's just been something that I probably have to sit down and write in. So it's kind of like, it's definitely interesting to start getting into it. And then you were bringing up mindful coloring, which is something else that I thought was actually interesting. And I wonder if like the way I'm writing in my little planner is maybe something similar to where like you feel like you're filling something in and it's kind of just like grounding you for the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anything that where you can just focus your attention and, you know, when thoughts pop up, you can more mindfully notice them. I think that makes a difference.
Yeah, totally. During this whole quarantine thing, has there been like any like extra like projects that you've been working on as far as like your podcast?
Yeah, so I guess the main one is I've come up with this new podcast, which is mainly just because I tend to be a bit of an overachiever sometimes and get too much on my plate probably. So obviously my other podcast is seasonal because my best friend who I do the podcast with is always really busy, whereas I'm very rarely busy. So I decided to do my own. So I'm doing that one, and that's a good news podcast. So that's also probably been a really good thing for my mental health, is actually going out onto the internet with a view to finding good news, which is usually the opposite to what we use the internet for. So that's been pretty interesting. So yeah, just doing a bit of that.
Nice. What so what are some like recent good news stories that you could share?
Look, I think my favorite one by far has been, which is episode one, which will be coming out next week after, so the 21st of September. So basically learning about all of the tree planting that's going on around the world. Mm. I guess it probably sounds pretty basic, but I think it's a pretty interesting topic in our time, the idea of climate change and deforestation, whether or not you prescribe to that. But I know for myself, it's something that I worry about a lot. So to hear about how much so many different countries around the world are planting trees and trying to plant more trees, it was just mind-blowing to me. Like, it's things that we just don't hear about or think about. And I feel like it's always about the debate about whether climate change is real or not. And it's very rarely about the good things that are going on in the world, and sort of stepping away from the negative. So yeah, that was pretty interesting to me.
Right. Yeah. I was like, for a while I was deep into like watching National Geographic, and I would just binge watch it. And, I was watching one, it was about the Grand Canyon basically. And it was a great, documentary, but like towards the end of it, he was talking about how there's people who are trying to build these development sites around the Grand Canyon. And, he starts talking about like how much of like an ugly view it creates out of the Grand Canyon. And I really liked what one of the points he said with like the environment in general. It's like, you can always build a shopping mall. You can always build like a house or whatever. Like, Once you take apart, you know, nature, which has been there, like, you can't rebuild it back to the way it was. So I thought it was a really interesting point for sure. And then, like, when you were bringing up the idea of, like, trees and bringing that back, I had this idea. I don't know if you how aware you are on, like, the whole deal with our bees. Like, in America, like, we're dealing with, like, an extinction issue, or like how our bees are heavily endangered right now, which I thought was like pretty interesting to learn about.
Yeah, it's a bit scary, really. We're probably not to the stage where you guys are. I think it's something that scientists are pretty active in trying to prevent here, because I think it's popped up here or there, some of those diseases that are wiping them out. But it's just, again, it's another one of those topics where we're so, I guess, bogged down in these other debates that are going on, that we're not sort of coming back to these other really simple topics that I feel would be probably easier and quicker to solve if everyone just knew about it, maybe, because so few people know about the issues that face bees, and the fact that, like, whether or not you care about bees, which I do, if they die, then we'll probably die. So right. It's kind of important to keep them around, right?
Right. Yeah, totally. And like, I like what you were saying, like, as far as like, we're getting bogged down by things that like are almost irrelevant to our existence, but like with certain other issues that are going on, like, it's hard for me to bring up, I guess, because like I said before, but like this whole issue that everybody has with like sex trafficking that we're dealing with now in the US, like it's a massive issue. And it's like, it's one of those things where like, I feel like there's so much outrage amongst, and a lot of it is valid. Like, I don't want to like invalidate it, but then like there's issues like that where I'm like, man, like we're here at odds, and yet like, you know, we're still dealing with basically a form of slavery in our country, which was supposedly outlawed, you know, back in the 1800s. But I mean, not really, if we're still dealing with it. And that's not a racial issue. Like, that's a total humanity and like really like our freedom issue. So I really like the idea of like what you were saying and touching on, saying like, hey, we're some focus is kind of misaligned, but I think that it's easy to profit off of division as well, for sure.
Yeah, I think people get so interested and passionate about things that they sort of are more excited to argue about it than they are to understand what's actually going on. And I do find it kind of interesting, and especially, you know, the amount of energy we all put into arguing about who's right and wrong, that could all be put into, like, solving problems instead of arguing about whether problems are problems or not. Yeah. So that's pretty interesting too, which I think is another thing I've been thinking a lot about since this time has happened and I've been able to have more time off social media, away from technology a bit more, away from the news a bit more, and just, again, connecting with myself, like you said, connecting with yourself and your own thoughts, I think is so important in even knowing what your beliefs are in these issues and what it is that you have the energy to care about and fight for.
Right. Yeah, well, like, so there was this, this course that I took, and it was basically it was talking about how to work on your goals or whatever. But like, I liked what you were saying, like everybody's focused on like who's right and who's wrong. But there's no like focus on actual like progress or process itself. And in this course, basically, and it's what's been helping me with like achieving goals and all this other stuff, is like I'm not more focused on like completing it than I am actually spending time on the issue itself, of like the actual process of whatever it is to fix. And like you were saying, like everyone's like, oh, hey, you're wrong, I'm right. You know, there's so much energy, like real angry energy into it versus like the idea of the process itself. But so I was taking in that concept, as well as like this concept of like what success means as well. And what the way that I've come to understand success is basically like, instead of likening it to like a ladder, or say trying to finish a race where like you beat everyone, like there's this idea where you take a rock and you throw it into a body of water, and basically that ripple effect. Check. No. I'm back.
Dropped out.
Right. Too much realness going on in this podcast, yeah. I think. They're probably like, all right, these guys are...
microphone can't handle it.
Yeah.
They're solving all the issues. We can't let this happen.
Yeah, right. Hold on. All right, cool. So anyways, so I was taking this course, and it's on this idea of success, where you take this basically rock and you toss it into a body of water, and basically the ripples of that rock creates and what kind of impact that you're having on those around you could be also considered as like an idea of success, I guess, through like what kind of impact that you're making on those around you, which helped me out a lot with like just in life in general, with like projects, like whatever I'm working on. Like when I'm at work, like it's not just, oh, like is this going to help me in the long run, and like is this going to help my outcome. It's more about like, okay, is this really going to help other people? Like, is this going to have impacts on people's lives around me? And I think it's easy to kind of lose that sort of focus. And I guess I don't know. It's really, like, I guess, interesting for me to think about that concept.
I think too, we, along those lines of, like, you know, that idea of the ripple effect or butterfly effect or whatever you want to call it, we have this obsession, I think, with controlling things. And it's a pretty big part of, I guess, dealing with mental illness, as far as I know, within psychology and behavioral therapy and stuff like that, which is you can't control anything other than your reaction to things. And I think coming back to that basic of, like, I can't control the person who is against what I think or what I'm doing. I can't control, you know, whether or not my boss likes me. I can't control whether that person across the street smiles back at me when I smile at them. But I can control what I do, and I can control my actions and what I do according to what I believe. So all you can really do is decide what it is that you believe in and shape your actions and your life around that. And it's like you said, you'll see the effects of that, and that's true success, I think.
Right, totally. Yeah, it's definitely interesting, like, as well, like you were saying, and it's kind of, it's really hard, I guess, like, because I know what you're saying as far as, like, you can't control other people, you can only control you, but I'm sure you've heard the saying of, like, where if you're upset about something or if you're angry at someone, like, you're essentially giving them control over you in a way, which is, like, really interesting to think about, because, like, you could be angry at somebody for something that they would have no idea about, but you're essentially giving up your control over whatever it is that you're doing to them. So I don't know. I guess it was pretty interesting to consider, but I think that might be also where, like you said, control, if you're in control of yourself, then, like, go out, take a walk, like, expand those neural pathways. But something else that I've found that has actually been useful for me, like, especially if I'm getting upset at something, like, if I can identify the idea that I'm angry. So there's this concept where basically if you get angry, you'll identify as anger in your head, and just, like, having that ability to put an actual label on it, like, will bring it up to your brain's ability to focus on it and at least recognize it, which in turn, I guess, de-escalates, like, the level of emotions or the imbalance that you might be dealing with.
It can be really hard to do. I think it's so funny because from a young age, we're taught what emotions are and what thoughts are and all of that kind of thing, but we get so disconnected from it. Steph, who I do the podcast with, she suffers from benacle anxiety, which is basically she gets this little voice in her head that says, you're sick and you're probably dying and you need to make sure that you figure out why these symptoms are happening, and it will just be this niggling thing, and she can't, or well, if she's not doing well at the time, then she can't stop it. And one thing that her psychologist taught her was giving that thought a name and being able to say, like, literally, she calls it Brian. So the thought pops up and says, oh, you've got a bit of a sore back there. That's a bit worrying. You shouldn't have a sore back. What's going on? Maybe you've got a tumor growing on your spine. Maybe you've broken it somehow and you didn't notice, or, you know, and it's this constant thing. And her being able to go, okay, that's Brian. That's not real. That's Brian. And maybe he's right and maybe he's wrong, but that's what it is. And I'm going to put that over there and I'm going to wait that and deal with that emotion later, and try and figure out where that's come from later. But right now I'm doing something else and I don't have the brain power to deal with it right now. And being able to, I guess, notice feelings, emotions, thoughts and things and put that label on them, I think is huge, because so often, like you said, the anger pops up and you let that completely take over. We don't even know where that's come from. And at the end of the day, it could be as little as you just didn't get enough sleep last night. But if you don't stop to think about it, then it takes control and you don't have control anymore. So.
Right. Yeah. There's like before when I was doing like my own, basically I do podcasts to talk to myself for whatever reason, Like my whole passion of doing, like my whole reason for wanting to do a podcast was simply just to connect to people and to communicate with people. Like that was like my passion and my reason to get involved with into doing podcasts. But something that I was learning about was common thought distortions and how those can play such a, like a role in, just think how you're perceiving things at that moment. Like you could have like an all or nothing perception where it's like, if you fail at some, like you're either like really all in, like you're doing extremely well at it. Or if like there's even a little hiccup, then it's like a complete failure, which I felt like I'd deal with like personally quite a bit. But, some of the other like thoughts were like you were saying, basically, as far as like, you don't know if you're tired or whatever. But as you were talking about that, like I was thinking about like, as I'm scrolling through social media and depending on what's going on during that part of the week and depending on like what ads are floating by my eyes, like it can definitely also have an effect on you as well. I think something that's personally definitely thrown me off sometimes or quite a bit where like you'll be browsing your social media and you'll get some social media ad that says, oh, hey, buy this course, and you could be like this. And for whatever reason, it would just like I'd either really want to go buy it or I'd just feel like crap about myself. And like that alone would just throw me off.
Yeah, for sure. God. And it's supposed to do that, right? It's supposed to make you feel like crap. But yeah, I think for sure, it's so funny to, I've had it where I've read a friend's post, say early in the morning, and it's literally just, oh, I've just started a new job and that's it. And then in the afternoon, I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, I'm not working at the moment. I'm basically unemployed. God, I'm such a loser. Like, you know, no one else is like this. And I can't in that moment think back and go, oh, I just feel like a bit of an idiot because that person got a job this morning and the job that they're doing sounds like fun. But really, it's not about me. It's about my perception of what that job is like.
Right. Well, and then, well, there's a couple like sides to that as well. Like the first thing is like, great, they might be having fun at that job, but I can almost guarantee you that like a year down the line, they're going to be like miserable, hating it. And whatever they posted, say, oh, hey, I got this job, is going to be irrelevant to them in about a year or so. I mean, because I can definitely, like, relate to that idea to where, like, you know, when you think of, like and I've read this quote before where it's, like, where you're at now, like, a previous, like, struggling version of yourself was dreaming of, like, where you're at now. So, I mean, for you, it would be probably doing a podcast, for instance. Like, I know for myself, like, this is profound to even be doing.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that I'm podcasting especially. I mean, say 5 years ago, I couldn't even go to the GP and tell them that, you know, I was having suicidal thoughts, and now I record myself saying it and I tell everyone to listen to it. So it's, it's pretty crazy, that sort of thing. And it does take a lot of perspective and practicing at having perspective. But I think once you get that sort of perspective, it can be really helpful.
Yeah, totally. But so I had a previous guest who I think you might actually make a good guest for. I'll send you to them basically, but me and him had this discussion about this idea of security and how it like is sort of an illusion, and like now, like in a weird sort of way, like you could think that you have all this illusion. Like look at what we're dealing with now with like all of these riots. Like we're like, man, look at all these cops we have, and like they're not just cops, like they have like military grade weapons. But it's still like chaotic, you know? So it's like there's this idea of this illusion of security that like there's a lot of money spent on it. But in a way, like your security really isn't secured until like you know how to be basically vulnerable in situations with like, say, starting a podcast or going out and like doing what is truthfully yourself in such a way to where like, you know, I feel as though that alone is what like truly like gives you security. It sounds weird. It was hard to, I don't know if this is you know, there's, I haven't come up with any research behind it, but like the whole idea of it made sense to me. Like anyone who's like gone out there and like done well for themselves has had to become vulnerable. Like there was, I feel like that's like a key component to it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think probably one of the most confronting but the most useful sessions I ever had with my psychologist was actually right after my sister had her last suicide attempt. And I was, you know, I was in tears and I was shaking and I was like, oh, I'm just so scared that we're going to lose my sister. And the psychologist just looked at me completely deadpan face and she said, why? And I said, well, like she's really sick and she has tried to take her own life and, you know, she's got bipolar disorder, which puts her at risk. And she goes, okay, but like you could leave my office right now and you could get hit by a bus.
Yeah, it's true.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And she said, we have this obsession in our society, which is that if we just be healthy, then we will live forever. You know, we've got this idea that, you know, if we're just healthy, then we'll just live, we'll just keep living. And that's a social construct, essentially. Anyone, like, it's even, you know, you're talking about the riots and stuff like that, and as crazy as it seems that that's sort of the new normal for you guys over there, I think at the same time, a meteor could fall out of the sky and obliterate us at the same time.
Yeah,
so every version of crazy and every version of normal is literally just a social construct, really. And really all we have is right now, which sounds incredibly wanky, but but it's true. All we have is right now, like the moment that we're in right now. That's it. That's all we've got.
No, it's definitely like it's funny to think about. And like you were saying, like this whole like idea that like people spend so much money on like becoming healthier, and it's like at the end of the day, like I don't know one guy who became so healthy that, you know, he just lived forever. I mean, what's Elon Musk, I guess, might be going about it a different, totally different way.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, well, he's working on this whole chip that I guess you can have installed into your brain. Have you read about this? The whole
yeah, and then he'll just be downloaded onto a computer when he dies, so he'll just live forever. He'll be fine, but the rest of us not so much.
Yeah. But it's like, is that, that's not really him though. That's like, that's just a computer. Like, I mean,
yeah, true.
But who knows? I mean, if he wants to say that that's him, then I don't
yeah,
know.
If that makes him happy.
the whole computer system happy, sure, whatever. But it was interesting. I started doing some research on that and like the whole application behind it, like as far as like using it for people who are like, you know, struggling with, say, like MS is, you know, could be definitely something where it could definitely have benefits. So it's definitely interesting. And then since I've been, you know, basically stuck in sitting down doing this whole quarantine, I started knocking out this like introduction course to like artificial intelligence, basically. And I started learning about it, because I was like, all right, I have nothing else to do. Why not go down this rabbit hole? I mean, but it was cool, though. I learned a lot. So there's this thing with artificial intelligence. I know this is going probably way far away from, like, personal growth, but maybe not. Maybe some people would like the idea of it. But, like, at the end of the whole course, it'll, like, basically, like, teach you how to, like, take a picture and you upload it, and then, like, it'll run it through the system and it'll identify basically what the traits of whatever that picture is. So it'll be like, say you uploaded a picture of a dog, it'll say like dog brown or whatever. But I ran into somebody who was working with Google artificial intelligence in healthcare, and he's actually a radiologist, and the whole application behind it, I guess, is to use it to identify like cancerous growths or any like anything that's like abnormally growing in the body. So I thought that was pretty interesting to go start learning about.
But yeah, oh, it's It's crazy stuff. Technology freaks me out, actually, and I don't understand any of it, but it is interesting to hear about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, even now, like, with this whole podcast deal,
yeah,
you know, it's like, here, we'll make this episode, this podcast episode, and, you know, like I said before, like, I reached out to you through Reddit, and, you know, that's where, like, our connection has started, but now, not only that, but we'll do this podcast episode, and then after that, post it. And then it'll sit there where, you know, you'll have hundreds of people listening and just kind of develop a relationship with it. And, like, they'll feel a connection to you, but you might like, not ever talk to them ever. So, I mean, it's definitely interesting.
It's such a weird concept.
Yeah, totally. But, like, you know, cell phones now, like, they have such powerful features, which I guess was, like, one of the, like, points that I was going into before, where, like, you could scroll through social media, and depending on how something might be promoted at that instance, like, that can have an effect on your mood. But it also has, you know, so many other powerful applications to it, to, you know, this, we can do a video chat, or you can go find it, you know, go do whatever, go work on your hobby, or, you know, learn about some random subject, which is cool, which I think has been extremely helpful for us. I think it'll be extremely helpful for, like, our education system, I think, has created a way bigger problem. And, like, so I'm not sure totally how universities and whatnot work for you as far as, like, financing them, but, like, for us, typically, like, after you graduate basically high school, in order to go to, like, higher level education, you'll have to either pay for it out of pocket, or you take out a loan, basically, and that's backed by the government in some cases, or a lot of cases, to where the government will basically track you down forever and make sure you repay it. So I think
ours is a little different. Of course, they're trying to change it to closer to what you guys have, but we have HEX debt, which is basically you have the debt, the government knows about it, it sits there, it's connected to what we have, which is called a tax file number, which is what you use when you get a job and all that kind of thing, so the government knows who you are. But essentially, if you don't earn enough, you don't have to pay it back. If you die before that debt gets paid back, it disappears. Your family doesn't have to pay it back. So a lot of people sort of joke about, like, oh yeah, I know I've got HEX debt, but I'm never paying it. Right. So I hear about the American, like, student debts and student loans, and I'm like, oh, how you guys do it? I've never finished uni, and I've got about $10,000 I technically owe the government. So. But I'm not paying it.
True. Well, that's crazy. Like, for us, it's like, If we were just like, you know, I'm not paying for it, it's like, like it's scary. Like, they come after you. Like, they'll like cut your wages. Like, they'll do everything they can to basically, like, ruin your life. Yeah, they'll do what's, like, called wage garnishments to get their payment back. But it's crazy, and you can't, like, even if you claim bankruptcy, like, it still follows you through bankruptcy. So. I think that's one of the benefits that, like, our new technology has, in that, like, being able to understand, or, you know, figure out, like, hey, maybe, like, or just finance in general, like, for, like, a younger population to understand, I think has a huge amount of value. So, like, if there's anyone listening that's trying to figure out if they should go to college or not, like, figure out if you can actually afford it, because debt is a real thing. But, I think, like, what Google's doing right now, I don't know if you've heard any news about them, but they're doing what's called, like, a professional certificate with, like, project management and, like, all these other, like, certificates. But they're basically going to weigh them the same as a 4-year degree, which can be completed in about 6 months and whatnot, which I think is a good concept for sure. I think it narrows down what people should be focusing on, because you could go through, like, courses and, or just, like, for myself, like, I went from my whole school, my entire, like, kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. And I'm like, this was, like, like almost worthless to me, because it's like a lot of the stuff, like I feel like I have to go back and relearn anyways from the bottom and like still pay for it. So I don't know.
There's also so much now that you can do for free on the internet, like free courses. Even, I can't even remember what it was called, but I found this website at one point and it was literally just free university or college units from all different colleges and universities around the world. And I just sort of thought, isn't that amazing? Like you can sort of think, oh, maybe I'm interested in e-commerce. I'll do one unit of this thing and see if I like it before I commit. Because, you know, obviously for you guys, it's a massive investment to go to college or university. So I think also it will probably push them to make it a bit more accessible financially as well, I think, because they won't be able to compete, I think, over the next 10, 15 years if they're still charging you and expecting you to pay it straight away. But yeah, there's a lot out there, and I think there's so much power in being able to access knowledge and information, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like you were saying, as far as like getting pushed into college, like pretty much immediately after high school, but like it's like it almost comes across, like now that I look back on it, I'm like, this seems pretty like predatory, where like you aren't deemed basically successful unless like you're committed to $60,000 of debt straight out of high school. Like I don't know, it sounds like a factory system to me. But like you were saying, as far as like taking these courses online, I think that the other real benefit that online courses have is that you can actually spend the time that you need to actually understand the actual concepts themselves before carrying on to the next section and whatnot. And I was taking this online course. It's called Learning How to Learn, which I highly recommend to anyone. I'm not affiliated with them whatsoever, but one of the things that it was talking about was that normally educational institutions didn't have to compete with like any sort of technology, but now with like the advent of the internet and the fact that like people can make these courses and like effective quality courses, like now you have normal education institutions actually having to compete for basically your money. But I think that personally right now, like with how our college student loans are all set up, I think we're in the midst of a bubble. Like if it's not popping yet, like it's gonna get there. And I think that this quarantine deal might just accelerate the burst of the bubble and the amount of people defaulting on it, on their loans. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of repercussions that's actually going to have. I don't know if I need to be thinking about it, but it's just always something that I've been thinking about.
I think I find it, even financially aside, I find it an interesting concept that sort of all over the Western world, we sort of say to people who are like 16, 17, 18, all right, you need to decide right now what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And you don't have any life experience yet, and you don't really know who you are yet, and you don't really know what you like doing yet, but you need to decide right now and you need to commit to it, and then you need to do that for the rest of your life or you're going to go broke. And make sure that you get a mortgage and some credit cards so that you never quit your job, because you have to keep working to be able to pay that debt. And then you get I know there's like a huge amount of people, I don't know if it's the same there, but there's a huge amount of people here that either at the end of their course or when they're about 50 or 60, all of a sudden go, I hate the job that I have from studying. I don't want to do this. And they have to go back and do something else. I've always found it really quite bizarre.
You know what, like what I was thinking about, like while you were saying that, was like I'm 28 now, and like I know I don't have it figured out of like whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing. But like at the same time, like how many people do I know personally that that are like, oh yeah, like this is definitely what I should be doing. Like I probably, if I could even count those people, like it's definitely on one hand that I could count like who knows what they're supposed to be doing for some reason.
It's absolutely crazy. And I don't know if it's the same over there, but over here, so year 11 and 12, we call VCE or HSE, depending what state you're in. And those 2 years, you have so much pressure on you. And basically at the end of those 2 years, you get a number score, which is usually between 50 and 99.99. And that determines what uni course you can get into straight out of school. And there is so much pressure, and it's all about what's your, it's called an ATAR score. What's your ATAR score going to be? Is it going to be high enough? Because if it's not, you'll die. You know, you're going to fail. You're going to, everything bad is going to happen. And actually, on a serious note, the suicide rate for people within those 2 years is huge compared to any other age in Australia, which is just scary because at that age, like, you shouldn't be feeling that amount of pressure. And the funny thing then is, so for someone like me, I didn't go to uni straight out of school, partly because my school was terrible, but partly because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I just, nothing has ever come up where I haven't been able to do what I wanted to do because of my ATAR score or what happened in those 2 years. No one has ever asked me what my ATAR score was, you know, when if I was going for a job or if I did apply to go to a uni course, or we have another thing called TAFE here, which I think is equivalent to like a community college. No one's ever asked. They don't care. Like, it doesn't, that score does not matter. Whereas when you're 16, 17, 18, that is like the absolute be all and end all. Rather than how can we equip these people with the knowledge that they need to be young adults?
Yeah, I don't know. That it sounds pretty scary. Like, now that I think about it too, it's like at that age, like we have like the whole like getting like our we have scores as well, like similar tests, like they're probably pretty equivalent, like that SAT scores basically, where they'll dictate like how you're admitted or whatever. And like how much pressure, like you were saying, is put on like these young adults, you know, at, you know, between say 18 to whatever. And, you know, at that point, you're still a young adult, like your brain is filled with hormones. And then just add all that pressure into that mix makes for a pretty crazy situation for sure. But like you were saying, like the irrelevancy of it later on, like I almost like, I don't know. I don't like to like troll people too much, but sometimes like with what you were saying, I was like, man, I'm like, if somebody ever asked me like, what was your score on this? I'm just going to be like a billion.
Yeah.
Just say it with like as straight of a face as possible, or just tell them that
yeah,
like, you maxed it out and then just.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I got 99.9. Yeah. It was easy.
Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I don't know. People, I mean, unless somebody's checking in on it, but I mean, it's such like a different.
Also real talk, we had, I won't use any names or anything like that, but we had someone in our, we call it a year level, but who did exceptionally well. She got the highest score you could possibly get, so 99.99. And, I mean, she works at Macca's now. She didn't finish her uni course. I don't know what she does. No one's really in touch with her. Whereas there's people who failed essentially and they're doing fine. So it's completely irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like personally, like I think that like our education system, at least in the US, has definitely got a lot of areas where it needs improvement. Like depending on what public school you're actually going to actually will dictate like how much money you're getting, like per student, like each area of the country gets like so much money basically per student. So if say you're in an area where it's like pretty wealthy or whatever, like I was looking at the amount of money that like each student is allotted through like tax dollars or whatever. And it's like up in the six figures versus like where if you're say somewhere where, you know, the education system doesn't have as much quality, like bottom of the barrel, basically, like you're getting like the bare minimum of like a couple thousand dollars per year, which is like, I don't know, pretty crazy when you think about it, like how the advantages and disadvantages are kind of created like systematically, and like how much emotion and like pressure can be put on people to where it's like, I don't know. It's crazy. I could go on all day about the education system.
Totally. I just love the meme that's like, just finished high school. I don't know how to do my taxes, but I'm really glad I know what an isosceles triangle is. I think that just perfectly encapsulates it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, or like buying a home, or like, yeah, maybe like your credit score would be a pretty important thing to understand.
Yeah.
Like, no, none of that. Like, we're going to teach you.
No.
We're going to teach you about a bunch of, I don't even know. I mean, there's some things where I think like the education system does have some good influence on like the younger population, but I don't think it's in like standardized testing. Like, I think it's more with like developing like the younger generation's actual creativity and like their ability to basically solve problems in a more creative way. But like, from my understanding is that like with budget cuts, that the first things to go are normally like, we have our arts, our music classes, like those get cut like first and foremost, and then exercise, like gym basically. And I was doing this course and it was talking about building up your neural pathways, and like, you know, like we want our students to perform really well on these tests and whatnot, but like your brain is at its best when it's exercising. And like the fact that gets cut out and that everybody's just forced to focus on this standardized testing, which in the long run doesn't benefit anyone. Like, the only thing it really benefits is like, I think personally, and I'm pretty sure of it at this point in my life, is just your ability to be really good at taking multiple choice tests.
Totally true.
Like, I don't know anything of whatever it is. I just know the words match this word, these words, and that's basically it.
Well, this sounds the most probable. I don't know if it's true or not, but.
Yeah. I mean, there's like specific strategies that you can use to like go through multiple choice tests. So like this course I was taking, it's profound. Like, it was crazy, but it was talking about how like, if you really want to know if you know something, like testing does help, but also being able to actually recall the information that you're being taught is like a better way of showing that you actually understand something. So I don't know. I thought it was a pretty solid idea for sure.
Oh, for sure. I think probably the biggest problem that I can see, especially over here, is, and it sort of ties into what you were saying about the budget cuts always being to, you know, exercise and the art, which is the same over here. I think we sort of ignore how important mental health is to learning. And, you know, if anyone who has experience depression, anxiety, any other mental illness knows, if you're not doing well mentally, you can't retain information. And it doesn't matter how long you spend in class or how much homework you do, you're kind of screwed. And I think building an environment where people can, you know, regardless of whether it's important or not, can exercise and do creative things and stuff like that, they're going to retain more information. They're going to do better. So I think that's like a massive hole, I think, in education for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was having a total flashback when you were talking about this, but like in my elementary school, we used to have what's called this health teacher, right? So she would come in like maybe once a week, but with like budget cuts, it cut down from like once a week to like every other week to like once a month. And I'm like sure, when I'm like 7 or 8 years old, like whatever she's coming in to say is probably just going right through one ear and out the other. And like, looking back on it, and I'm like kind of picking up bits and pieces that she was trying to teach. I'm like, some of that was pretty important now that I think about it. It's kind of a shame that maybe we only got to talk to her like once a month. And I'm pretty sure like depression has probably like really been like the biggest like thing that, if I were to tell like anybody coming out of high school that they had to worry about, like that would probably be like my main thing to like harp on, like, before even, like, math or, like, I mean, reading, I guess, is important, but, like, your actual mental health and knowing how to effectively manage it, like, that would probably be on, like, that top of my list thing to harp on or to talk about.
For sure. I think anxiety, too. So I didn't know this before I started my podcast, but so anxiety disorder is more prevalent than depression. And when you look at the science behind anxiety, and a lot of the time it's triggered by stress or is a similar sort of experience to stress. What happens is that our brain goes into that fight or flight mode. And when that happens, the chemistry in our brain changes and the way that we deal with things changes. And so if you look at the experience of being at school, if you're under stress, then your brain is actually trying to figure out how to get you out of that situation. And so it can't, like, scientifically, you can't learn and you can't effectively, you know, be in the moment and understand new ideas and, you know, build neural pathways and things like that, because literally, hormonally and chemically, your brain can't do that. And I think that's another thing that we completely ignore, is creating these environments where it's, you know, relaxing and nurturing enough that people are able to sort of soak in the information like a sponge, like people think children are, when in fact what we're doing is the opposite. We're creating this environment in which our brains physically can't take on any of the information. Right. It's so counterintuitive.
Right. No, actually, it's really interesting that you're, like, talking about that, because it's having more flashbacks, basically. Like, when I was in high school, like, my home environment was certainly not perfect, but, like, one of my issues that I always had dealt with was sleep. Like, my ability to get, like, a full night of rest was, like, always thrown out the window. But, like, I remember I was sitting in this class and, like, I was like, I know I have to pass this class, like, just to get out of here. But, like, I remember, like, not being able to stay awake and, like, falling asleep while I was paying attention. I'm like, man, I'm like, it's not even that, like, I wanted to, like, sleep in this class. It was like, I was literally so tired I fell asleep. And, like, I, like, you know, there, it was this stupid thing where, like, they, like, knock off, like, 20 points on your whatever your grade for it or something for that day or whatever you were supposed to be doing. But, like, I definitely could resonate with that idea of, like depending on, like, your whole environment and, like, how you're in whatever it is that you're supposed to be learning and, like, how your brain chemistry becomes affected with anxiety, like, it can totally, totally have an effect on your ability to actually learn.
Yeah, for sure. And how, just out of interest, how many times did the teacher say, hey, stop that, and treat you like you're being a naughty boy, as you know, contrast to being like, hey, are you all right? Do you need a moment outside of the classroom? Do you need some fresh air? How can I support you to be able to learn better?
Yeah, no, it was basically just written off. It's like, all right, get out of here.
You're being naughty.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was definitely interesting to think about, for sure. I don't know. It is what it is, right? It's like you were saying before, it's like the only thing that's important is, like, this now moment. And that's basically all I feel as though, like, I can kind of work on it at this point. But for myself, like, I get enjoyment from doing this podcast deal and, like, developing these connections with people that I otherwise wouldn't have, basically. And, like, for myself, that's pretty important right now to just keep continuing it.
Yeah, totally. I think, well, if I could have learned this at school, that would have been great. But I think one of the most important things I've learned along my mental health journey and personal growth journey has been, you know, you can't change what's in the past, but, you know, having that appreciation for what you've got right now and really putting yourself out there in ways that mean you're going to have these really interesting experiences, like, that's really all that matters. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but I can't change what happened when I was at high school. I can't change if I had a good education or not. I can't change whether my teachers, you know, were good to me when I wasn't feeling so great. But right now, you know, if there is something that I felt I was missing in my education, I can do that now. I can think, oh, I wish I'd learned about this. I'll just chuck that into Google and see if there's a free or cheap course out there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great, like, I'm really glad, like, we're having this conversation about that, because, like, I'm in, like I am right now, I'm taking this calculus class for some reason, because, like, I enjoy the challenge of learning, you know. I don't know if it's, like, my ego maybe getting the better of me or what it is. It's sort of like you were touching upon before, like, I feel as though, like, I missed what I felt like I should have learned. And so, like, I feel like that's a large driving force behind me and why, like, I'm kind of pursuing some of the educational courses that I'm pursuing at this point. But I think being, like you said, grateful to actually have the opportunity to do it now is important. And so I was looking at this quote about suicide, and it basically says, suicide doesn't eliminate the possibility of things getting worse. It only eliminates the possibility of things getting better. And I definitely think that is quite a profound concept to keep in mind, for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think gratitude is such a difficult thing to have sometimes. I think we do get really bogged down in that, you know, oh, I didn't learn this at school, or, you know, I didn't get that job that I wanted, or, you know, I don't have as many friends as I thought I would have. And it's really difficult to be grateful. And I actually recently made a post on my Instagram about this, which was in the sort of ballpark of, I think I'm slowly learning that gratitude isn't about ignoring all of the negatives. It's about going, okay, I'm having a terrible day, everything's going wrong, but actually I've still got a roof over my head and that's amazing. Or, you know, look at the sunset. It's really beautiful and I'm so grateful that I can see that sunset right now. And knowing that, you know, if to bring a downer on it, but to reference your quote, if I had, you know, succumbed to my suicidal thoughts or something like that, I wouldn't have had that moment. I wouldn't have made my podcast. I wouldn't be speaking to you right now. And despite all of the bad things that might happen, there are these great things that I never could have imagined. And there's just no way of knowing whether or not those things are going to happen until you experience them. And it's not until you really stop and think, hey, I could be dead right now, you know. And I know it sounds like a depressing thing, but actually I find it quite uplifting to think, you know, things could have gone really differently, but instead I'm here talking to you and I've got this great podcast that I love and I'm learning how to oil paint.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely interesting to think about, like you were saying, like you like today, like my biggest problem, like I felt that I had to deal with today, was getting this podcast episode completed. So I was sitting there like, I'm like, I got to get this done. But like, in reality, if I think about it, say 3 years ago when I was struggling with like addiction, and you know, I would have wished that this was my only problem to deal with back then, of like getting a podcast episode just done. And so it's like definitely interesting to think about.
Yeah, it only takes a little shift in your perspective. It's crazy sometimes to look back and think about where your mindset was. And I think that's another thing that has been really good for me in this time, is that, again, coming back to that sort of thing with mental illness being something that you have to overcome and then move on from. I think it's been such an important time for me in that, you know, I'm relatively stable with my with my mood and all of that kind of thing. And being able to look back and really take stock of where I've come from and the, you know, the work that I've actually put in to get to where I am now, which I think is one thing that people often don't think about is actually what did I actually have to do to get here? And really being able to not only be grateful for the good things in your life, but be grateful for the effort that you've put in yourself, I think.
Right. Totally. Yeah. I think like you were saying, putting effort into your brain and like this whole idea of mental illness, like here's my perception, I guess, with this idea of mental illness or your mental health is that like your brain needs exercise as much as any other part of your body does. Like you can, you know, running is good for your heart, like lifting weights is good for your body, but like your actual brain itself needs like stimulation in order to stay healthy. And I think that like it, that's not really like a concept that like people have like, at least for myself, I didn't get my head normally around this idea of like, hey, like I've got to take like way better care of my brain, like more than, you know, hitting the gym for an hour or so. Like, yeah, like, you know, I like to go to the gym and whatnot, but like my brain itself needs like that same sort of attention to stay where it needs to be. And I think that if you aren't routinely going over the things that you need to do to keep your brains specifically healthy, whether it's like exercising, meditation, like communicating, I think networking is a great way to like get your brain some exercise and doing like different sorts of activities to keep your brain balanced the way it should be, that this idea of becoming mentally ill is, it's the same as say you don't like exercise or if you don't walk at all, like there's atrophy, I think that's what it's called, where, you know, that particular muscle will just shrivel up and not work anymore the way it's supposed to be. And I mean, it's the same with the sort of, you know, abuse that your brain takes on, whether it's through chemical imbalances or if it's through substance abuse, that like your brain just needs attention. Like it needs special attention in order to stay where it needs to stay.
Yeah, totally. And I think this is one of the points that we try and make on our podcast too, is that it's not just people with mental illness or addiction or anything like that who need to worry about that. Every single human being who has a brain has mental health. And, you know, that's like saying, oh, only people who are overweight need to exercise. Well, that's ridiculous. That's not true at all. Everyone on this earth needs to have exercise, eat well, look after their brain. And you don't have to be mentally ill to be mentally unhealthy. And so I think that's probably a massive takeaway from me. And also good to remember that even though there's so much stigma around mental illness, even people who aren't mentally ill, they still have, you know, some of the times that I've had in my life where they think negatively or, you know, they experience some of the symptoms that I have. Sure, it doesn't stick around for years at a time like mine does, but, you know, we all have to look after our health in that way. It's not a black and white thing where if you're sick, you need to look after yourself, and if you're not sick, you don't.
Right. Right. Like the whole idea of, like, this idea I was just thinking of is like, you know, if somebody like has a broken leg, like you wouldn't, you know, stigmatize them for a broken leg. You know, it's like, hey, is this something he just has to take care of? Like it is what it is. It happens. And I think that concept is definitely important. But something else that I was thinking of as well with like this whole idea of like mental health. And I think that it can kind of, you can kind of connect this idea as well with like physical health too, because like, I don't know, like a long time ago, I used to spend a lot of time in the gym, but like, and I'm sure like other people can maybe relate to this, but, like there's never like a perfectly finished product of healthiness, right? And in the same way that like your mental health is not like ever like a perfect product, like at the end result, and like you can look at anyone basically and pick out like any like sort of whatever issues, I guess, if that's what you want to call them, and be like, well, you know, for instance, say you're a highly respected like physician and whatnot, but like, you know, and everything's successful, I guess, in your eyes about whatever it is with them, but like they could still be dealing with like imbalances of, say, hey, like they're lacking that like family balance or that that ability to exercise themselves, where like, you know, everything's out of whack. So I don't know, I've always thought about that, I guess, and like how also like your environment can totally have a pretty drastic effect on your overall mental health.
Yeah, for sure. I find it pretty interesting too that there's so much about prevention for physical illnesses. So like, don't smoke because you might get lung cancer. And there's very little on prevention for mental illness, which I find really bizarre. So it's the same sort of concept, like the best time to be healthy is when you're already healthy, right? That's when it's super easy to stay healthy. It's really, really hard to become healthy after you're already unhealthy. And I think that's another thing where it just needs to be part of this conversation where like everyone should be looking after their mental health. It should be completely irrelevant whether or not they are, you know, classified mentally ill, whether they are on medication. None of that should even matter. Everyone should be looking after your mental health. Everyone should be asking like, oh, how's your mental health going?
Right. Well, I feel like you were just, I was just inspired by that idea because like, you know, you say don't smoke, and like if you buy like a carton of cigarettes, it'll say on it like highly addictive, like may cause cancer. Like, I feel like I want to like create a meme now and just like post it and be like, highly addictive, may cause mental illness. Go outside and do something, you know, healthy. I don't know, but definitely. So yeah, totally. I'm about to close out for the night. It's a little bit late on my side. It's probably close to like 1:30.
Oh my God. It's only 7 o'clock. It's, yeah, 7 o'clock here. So I'm like,
it's all good. I work a late shift anyway, so it works okay. I can manage the schedule, but, it was definitely great to connect with you, Emily. I actually would look forward to having you on future episodes, or maybe I could guest on to any of your podcast episodes for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to have you on. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so is there any place where my listeners can follow you at?
Yeah, so all of our handles are sort of at It's Not All In Your Head Pod. So Instagram, we've got Twitter. We're on Facebook as well as a group and a page. We've got a website, which is INAIYH.com. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Thanks so much for having me on. It was so good.
Yeah, totally. Definitely. All right. And I'm going to close out today. I'll be back on. I'll have another, I'll be back to you guys soon. So hope you guys are all enjoying this episode. You can follow me at David J. Sherwin, basically at any social media platform. I don't know, just find me. You'll find me if you need to. If you're listening to this, you'll know. But Instagram, David J. Sherwin. Facebook, same. YouTube, David J. Sherwin. Hope you guys are all doing well. Have a wonderful week. Stay motivated, stay up, and we'll see you all soon. Cool.